you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
You're welcome in this house is the Lord's.
Reading from John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And these are words of Jesus, red letter words in many of your Bibles. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, October 11th, 2023. It's the Prime Lifetimes in Review, and our copy editor, Rob Seidenberg, is in the studio. In fact, Donna Leland, she said, I want to make sure I get Rob's name right. Yeah, somebody at one point thought it was Seidenberg. It's yeah. Seidenberg, right?
Yes,
like
that's
seed,
correct.
Corn
yeah,
seed.
That's correct.
Okay, Seidenberg, Rob Seidenberg is in the studio with me, and I opened up with John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, because we're going to talk about a door that some of you are familiar with, especially if you've lived on a farm in your past. But first, a couple announcements. Lots going on. In fact, a month from today, exactly a month, on November 11th, at the Virginia Theater, Audience of One is coming together. It's to bring people, like-minded believers, faithful followers of Jesus, to come together to worship and pray for our cities, and you're all invited. It's a free event. No tickets are needed. We're hoping to fill the place. I think it can accommodate almost 1,500 people. We're hoping for over 1,000. We're getting many churches involved. We've been praying it up for over a year. Like Brandy Pierce with the Pregnancy Resource Center, she said, oh, I'm going to make sure at our upcoming banquet, which is happening on the 20th, so that's about 9 days away. She said, we'll have your little cards. We have postcards. Let people be aware of. And Melissa Wilhelm, I think, has like 5,000 people, is in the process of contacting through her social media outlet. She now works with the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, and many other churches and organizations are getting on board, helping us get the word out. But the goal is to come together as one people. So this is primarily for Christians, people that love and pray and know God the Father, Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, coming together to worship. So we're thinking about, in the future, a more evangelistic outreach, but this is to bring believers together to pray for our city, and we'll have different representatives, like we'll pray for the police and first responders in the schools and the government, and it's going to be a great time. So put it on your calendar. It's Saturday night, 7 p.m., November 11th, at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, Illinois. I hope you'll come out, and we're excited about that. Excited about Brandy's fundraising banquet coming up on October 20th. It's called Fiercely Loved. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way as I have loved you, John 15:12. And it's their annual banquet. They always have great speakers. And this year it's Alan and Lisa Robertson. And it's weird to see him. He's from the Duck Dynasty, but he's cut most of his beard off. So he's got a well-groomed beard. They're going to talk about God's work in their lives and how they both are very blessed to be coming and sharing some of their story and raising funds for the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center. Hey, do you know Habib Habib?
Yeah.
He gave a great talk yesterday. It was at the fire station in downtown Muhammad, but Russ Taylor encouraged a bunch of people to come out. I don't know, it was a whole room full, but he shared a lot of his testimony, faith journey, what it was like growing up in Lebanon and the war and coming to America and the opportunities. And he talked about the importance of being kind and being positive and, you know, working hard. And he said how that has influenced influence people around him, and he's been very successful. And he talked about when he was applying for, I think, his first license or license plates, and he was doing it online, and he put in Habib Habib, and it rejected it. There's no such thing as a first and last name being the same. And so he's a great storyteller and encouraged everyone, so that was fun. And Russ Taylor does a great job with his brother Nick with Taylor Realty Associates, and they advertise in the Prime Life Times. In fact, they're on page A12. We appreciate those two, and they sponsored this event and just wanted to encourage community leaders and people they knew. So that was great. And then today being Wednesday, being the Prime Life Times in review, I think we're going to have you read two different stories, Rob. Okay. Thanks for being not only our copy editor, but being a content contributor.
You're welcome.
So which one do you want to read first?
Well, let's read Rural Memories, if that's okay.
Sure.
This one's called Hey Maudour.
And spell that for some city folk unfamiliar with that. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce it.
Haymow, spelled just like the word mo, but this is mow. And mowing is what you do in the hay mow, arranging the hay there. In my youth, barns came in two versions. Some had immense Florida roof hay mows that held a prodigious quantity of hay. Others had second-story hay mows. Our barn, a replacement for the one that had burned in the 1930s, was a hybrid.
Hmm.
Both ends had floors with less space underneath, on the east for calves and on the west for a workshop. Dad later built a floor over the south side milking area. We stored baled straw on that floor. Though young, I helped, so to speak, to put in that native white oak floor. We had to drill holes for the spikes and grease them before they would go through the floorboards and into the 40-year-old white oak beams.
And where'd you get these spikes?
Well, you just went to the hardware store and bought it, but they were great, big things, you know, about, I would say, 5 inches long or better, and really big in diameter. And they just bend as strong as they were unless you drilled a hole and greased them. So that grease is still there, no doubt. Of post and beam construction, the barn had 8-inch by 8-inch native white oak posts and beams pinned together with 1-inch diameter ash pegs. If a cylinder one side or end of the barn started rotting, we replaced it, though with treated pine instead of oak. As we filled the floor-to-ceiling hay mow with small round bales, we carefully stacked them around the beams once we got up that high. The beams were about 16 feet off the floor. The north side of the barn had held a dozen workhorse stalls, which we removed to make a holding pen for dairy cows once we built our milking parlor onto the barn's west end. Many farmers modernized, installing various kinds of hay elevators to get the bales up into the mow. We sent our hay up with a large four-tined hay fork, which then ran along a track at the very top of the barn. The way the wire rope cable lifted the fork ensured that the tines bit into each bale of the little stack of round bales we sent up. The large open barn door was just back from the east peak of the roof, which extended a good 5 feet out past the opening. Big hinges supported the door, which we closed for winter to protect the hay. Hooking a rope to the hay fork, then to the extreme bottom, the top when closed, of the door, we pulled the door out away from the barn wall. The tractor slowly and gently pulled the hay cable and raised the door. A person up in the mow snugged the door shut, fastening giant hooks on either side, securing it in place for winter.
Now, do you and your sister differ on different stories of things that happened up in that loft?
Well,
we had her on a couple of weeks ago, in case you missed that program.
Yeah, as she left the studio, she said, "Now, Mark, I want you to know that mine is the official history of the family, not Rob's." Well, she often calls me and says, "I don't agree on how you said this happened." And one time we talked about this story, and I gave her some background. She said, "What year was that?" And it was 2 years before she was born. So it's so funny, but it's okay. Yeah. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody who experiences it has a slightly different experience because we're different people.
And their vantage point or what they were seeing or experiencing or feeling even.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Opening that big door was a harbinger of late spring. The life-giving breeze that blew through was welcome when temperature and humidity were high and a boy was sweating high up in the mow, breathing in hay dust, which we could see floating in the air wherever a shaft of light penetrated the relative darkness of the mow. I watched many a torrential rainstorm from that open haymow doorway. I also awaited the next load of hay to come down the hill from one of our big hay fields, catching some air before going back to mowing, rhymes with vowing, the hay as it came up. There's nothing quite like being up there in that enormous opening, looking out onto the world, the clouds, the hills, the fields, and the growing crops. Haymow doors are things of the past. Early Midwesterners who moved to Wyoming and Colorado built clones of their Midwestern barns out on the prairies, then found they didn't need them, so soon stopped the practice. Hay did just fine in big outdoor stacks, and the livestock did well outdoors too. To me, that big haymow door, whether open or closed, will always represent a big part of my childhood on the farm. Copyright Sina Circle, Rob Seidenberg, used by permission. Rob, and this address is wrong, Mark. It should be rob@primelifetimes.com. rob@primelifetimes.com. So I apologize for a misprint. I'm responsible for all misprints.
It's our first typo in 5.5 years.
It's our first typo in 5.5 minutes.
Well, very good. That's under the rural memories heading under our lifestyle section, page A9 in this month's, the October edition of the Prime Life Times, which is informative, engaging, and positive.
Yeah, and Mark, if we might, let's go on to the next page, A10. Musically Speaking is a monthly article by Roger Weisgarver.
Oh, yes, and if we have time. Yes, and if we have time, we're going to maybe close out with the song that Johnny Mercer recorded and is famous for, known for.
So this is titled Johnny Mercer. Even if you're not aware of it, you've probably heard Johnny Mercer's music. Many songs he wrote are American standards, still known and sung today. Everything from lighthearted to romantic, from big band to dramatic, from sassy to cinematic, and even to Broadway, Johnny's compositions and lyrics knew no bounds. Throughout his life, Johnny's inspiration for many songs came from his childhood in Savannah, Georgia, where he was born in 1909. The history, beauty, and charm of Georgia followed Johnny as he moved to New York City and later to Hollywood, California. Composing for a 1930 musical review, The Garrick Gaieties, Johnny met his future wife, chorus girl Ginger Meehan. She was earlier pursued by the young crooner Bing Crosby.
The young crooner.
Yeah.
You don't hear crooner. So
no, not much anymore. Yeah. Mercer's main claim to immortality is his prodigious songwriting output. In all, he penned lyrics, or music and lyrics, for about 1,500 songs. Marked by sophisticated, occasionally whimsical, mastery of language and rhymes, many Mercer songs have become standards and are still performed regularly. Early on, Mercer was torn between acting and songwriting, but in 1930, failing to land a part, he ended up writing his first hit. It was his 1933 recording of Lazy Bones. By 1938, he was recording duets for Decca Records. The following year, Mercer was a featured singer on Benny Goodman's radio program. He was a successful singer in his own right with a relaxed, southern-accented, rhythmically agile delivery that yielded several major 1940s hits.
And they show a picture of him with one of those old-fashioned Capitol microphones. 1949, Johnny Mercer, 40 at the time, Capitol Records president, Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, he got into some spats with some of the recording studios, and he just started his own. Mm-hmm. In 1942, Mercer, Glenn Wallach, and Buddy DeSilva founded Capitol Records with Mercer as president. It became an industry behemoth. By 1946, Capitol was responsible for a sixth of all records sold in the United States. Mercer soon penned more hits for his label, Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, Accentuate the Positive, Candy, and Personality.
And we may close out with Accentuate the Positive to encourage you all on this midweek, hump day some will call it, be a blessing to those around you carrying that positive attitude. We'll see.
While running Capitol, Mercer attracted Nat King Cole, Stan Kenton, Joe Stafford, Peggy Lee, and Margaret Whiting. His many collaborators included Harold Arlen, Hoagie Carmichael, Duke Ellington, and Jerome Kern.
I know of a few of those. Are you familiar with them all?
No, I don't know them all. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He also contributed to the scores of 7 Broadway musicals and films and was nominated for 18 Academy Awards, winning 4 Oscars. Among his unforgettable contributions to cinema and stage are Hooray for Hollywood, That Old Black Magic, Glowworm, Days of Wine and Roses, and Moon River.
I'm familiar with a couple of those. Mm-hmm.
Millions of people all over the world have enjoyed these songs with their wide range of musical styles. Writing songs for movies offered 2 distinct advantages. The techniques of using sensitive microphones for recording and filming lip-syncing of pre-recorded songs liberated songwriters from the long-sustained notes required for live performance. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers could now sing more conversationally and nonchalantly. Mercer, himself a singer, understood this shift, and his style fitted the need perfectly. Mercer's lyrics combined a keen appreciation of American colloquialisms with a profoundly poetic sensibility. At their best, they span a simply amazing richness and emotional complexity. A personal favorite, I think of at this time of year, is Mercer's 1950 classic, Autumn Leaves. Joseph Kosma, a French songwriter who wrote many songs while hiding from the Nazis in southern France during World War II, wrote the tune in original French lyrics. Mercer appreciated Kosma's fabulous tune and theme. He wrote his English lyrics in 1950. Eric Clapton's and Nat King Cole's versions of Autumn Leaves are classic. Working on a musical in London in the 1970s, Mercer learned that his headaches were caused by a brain tumor. He arranged for a replacement to take over as president of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In 1976, Mercer passed away at age 66 in Los Angeles after bringing such musical beauty to the world. He was a shining example of how a young man from a sleepy early 20th century Georgia town could go on to such great success and fame. He always returned home to Savannah when he needed to escape the bustle of New York and Hollywood. Monticello, Illinois resident Roger combines his interest in music and history in these columns. Roger Weisgarver, and his email is Roger_Weisgarver, Weisgarver, at MSN.com.
And you can see him in person just about every Monday night as he's our chaplain for the Singing Men of GNN, and he loves to sing and declare the wonders of God. Appreciate Roger, married to the beloved Audrey Weisgarver, and have known them. I think they've been married about the same amount of time as Holly and I, right around 10 years.
Wow.
They're a sweet couple.
Great.
A match made in heaven. Yeah, Roger gets around. In fact, we have an audition tonight for the U of I again. Every year they want us to come back in and sing the national anthem, and so they're scheduling for the women's and men basketball games coming up, and I think we're already scheduled for a women's volleyball, and we've done baseball, we've done hockey, we've done tennis, we've done, I think, one gymnastics, we've done a lot of the different U of I games, and so tonight at 6 o'clock we're meeting to have another audition, I guess. So Roger will probably be there. He's always helping out and assisting in various ways. So thank you, Roger, for writing this. We appreciate your content. His series is under Musically Speaking by Roger Weisgarver. And he's been involved in this radio ministry for about 15 or so years, a long time. He retired from the Wisconsin area, came back here. In fact, he had a position with this radio ministry, and then he developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. And so that really devastated him for a while. He was in the hospital for a long time and rehab for a number of years, and now is in a wheelchair. But he gets around, and we appreciate him, and we can be positive because he's a positive kind of guy. He kind of models that Johnny Erickson Tata spirit, you know, make lemonade out of a bad situation. And so we're going to close out with a portion of, what's it actually titled?
Accentuate the Positive.
Accentuate the Positive by Johnny Mercer. This is from a recording I got off the internet from way back. So as you go about your day today, accentuate the positive, because you can represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and be God's ambassador as you go, wherever you go, and accentuate the positive. Here's Johnny Mercer. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark?
Man, they said we better accept you hate the positive, even might hate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
You gotta spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, and have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene.
You got to accentuate the positive,
yes, yes.
I need the negative, and latch on.